list of things we will pray for at the end. But before that, can we hear from Dan?
Afternoon, everyone.
Afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks, Anne.
Hey, Dan.
Thank you, Hugh. One of the challenges in doing this, of course, is you get there's very little interaction. It's not the same as doing this at one of our meetings. So I will endeavour to do the best I can here without any interaction. Hopefully, you can hear me okay. I had some slides prepared and everything, and then attempted to sort of do all this dual monitor stuff and things, and failed dismally. And so I decided the best thing was just to give it as is. So if you've got a Bible to hand, either digitally or the old nice leather bound ones, then that would be helpful. I'll be sort of flicking in and out and around Romans 8 predominantly, which has been great because actually there's been a number of references to that already this afternoon. So I feel that maybe this is on the, maybe we're on the right theme here. All right, 1 second. We're trying to set up another thing here. Hold on 1 minute. Okay. All right. So, everything okay? Right. So this talk I've entitled "The Adequacy of God," or to quote Romans 8, which we were singing just a minute ago: "If God is for us, who can be against us?" So as Jonathan.
Dan, sorry, it's Arthur here. It's really hard to see you because of the light behind you. I don't know if you could, if it's possible to move.
Yeah, sure. I'll just go and turn the sun off. 1 second.
Yeah, thanks. I knew you could do it. I mean, you're the senior coordinator.
That's better.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's much better. Yeah.
Yeah, I told you I can turn the sun off. Okay, so typically, as Jonathan mentioned, this talk is typically this time of year, we summarize and review the year, what the Lord has said to us, particularly maybe calling out some of the words, both from a historical perspective, but also sort of looking forward. And the purpose in doing this, when we do this every year, is to reflect on these things and maybe reflect on them more over the summer, ready for the new year that's happening for us in the autumn. Now, none of us could have predicted how this year was going to pan out when we started back in September, ready to celebrate our 40th year as a community. And we can reflect, though, back on that time, that we did have a great celebration. It was a great time. And we did recount God's faithfulness to us and how the Lord had been faithful to us over 40 years. But in reality, this year, or at least the second half of this year, has been really dominated by the coronavirus and its impact on us personally and as a community. But as Hugh pointed out at our last meeting, and I want to start with this, that we had a word from the Lord at our anniversary weekend back in September last year, and I'll repeat it again now. It was this: this year there will be hardships. We will face challenges, but in the midst of that, I will shower you with grace and blessings. So I want to reflect on this word for us. Yes, it's been a difficult year, but what about those grace and blessings? And maybe it isn't so ironic that in our 40th year, we've experienced and continue to experience this wilderness year, as Ursula spoke to us about in the last meeting. So I want to kind of reflect on that. One of the challenges that I've seen for us during this pandemic has been that there has been, and there really is, a wide variety of experiences for us within community. For some of us, it's been an inconvenience, a hassle, but not much more than that. Life has really continued, and we've had this sort of attitude of just getting on with things. Of course, you know, we prefer things to return as they were, but it's been annoying, but not much more than that. However, for some of us, this has really been a very, very difficult time, and a significant proportion, I would say. For many of us, it's been a lot more than just a hassle. For some of us, we've really been affected by this time, For some, it's been extreme loneliness, immense pressure to balance work and life. And I'm thinking particularly of those who've had to school their children at home. It's been very, very difficult. For some of us, we've been facing real economic uncertainty, and the future is actually looking quite unsure. For a few people, it's brought on significant depression, real anxiety, and a lot of stress. And for some of us, we've experienced real challenges in our relationships, relationships at home, relationships that we've been with people we've been living with. For some, real challenges, even with other members of the community. And all of these relationship circumstances now will require real effort to bring through resolution. And in many cases, I would say that what the quarantine has done is it's exacerbated some underlying challenges or even underlying fault lines, you might say, in us as a community. So I say all that, and that's even before I start to talk or think about those affected by the sickness because of death amongst their friends and family because of this pandemic. And although we don't believe that this COVID-19 related, the death of John Benjamin has been a real shock to us. This has really affected many of us, particularly those who knew John well, who knew him as a real dear brother and a real selfless brother and friend. So given what I've just outlined as an introduction, I think it would be somewhat arrogant on my side and demeaning for those who have been finding this time challenging to roll out some sort of pious platitudes or give some grand interpretation of what's been going on. So you'll be glad to hear I've got no intention of doing that. What I want to do rather is share my own personal observations, my own personal reflections. But before I do that, let me just share one more prophecy. And this one we got in February before the pandemic really hit us. And I repeat this word for those of us who are having a hard time to listen to this and be comforted. And so this is from February. The Lord says, "Today, even now, bring me your tears. Do not hold back from me. Draw near to me, you who rejoice and you who mourn, with your tears for yourself or for others who suffer. Do not hold back from me. I welcome all of you, the good, the bad, the sad. Come, draw near to me and fix your eyes on heaven, where every tear will be wiped away." I think there is a lot of comfort for us in this word. The Lord knows our frailties, suffering and pain, and is there to comfort us. I'm reminded of St. Paul's words at the beginning of 2 Corinthians, where he writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God." Okay, so my reflection on this time. Right at the beginning, I've been thinking about various, I would say, interrelated questions that probably many of us have been thinking about, like, why is this happening? What is God doing? Why are so many people suffering or dying? And many questions like that. And I quickly realized that these are meaningless questions. Now, they're not meaningless in the sense that there isn't any coherent answer. It's just that they're meaningless in that I will never know or comprehend the answer in all its fullness, not at least this side of heaven. As it says in Romans 11, "Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and how inscrutable his ways." So my conclusion was pretty quickly that I cannot understand God's grand purpose in all of this, but I can and I should seek his purpose for me in this. What does God want me to get out of this time? What am I supposed to learn? So here's my short reflection. And as I said at the beginning, I want to base this on Romans 8. I don't have the time really to go through Romans 8, but it's such a famous passage. It's the pinnacle of Romans. But I do encourage you to go back and read and reflect and pray into Romans 8 later on. So let me read beginning by Romans 8, 31 to 39. Like I said, it's a very well-known verses. So Romans 8, yes. So what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What do times of trial and difficulty do? Or put it another way, why does God permit these things? What I find for me is really they strip away my reliance on other things, which are typically material things or possessions or my own strength or ability. Or put it another way, more accurately, times of trial and difficulty strip away all the things I can look to rely on rely upon instead of God. The other thing that these times do is they show me my weakness. I remember, I think I just graduated, so I would have been in my early 20s, and I had a conversation with Steve Clark. I was having a pretty hard time, and Steve used this analogy with me, which since then I found really helpful. And the analogy was of a dam, which was holding up and withholding lots of water. And Steve said, look, what happens with a dam is as the pressure increases, the thing that gives away first is the point of weakness. And he said, and that is the same for our lives. When we experience immense pressure, the thing that gets revealed is are the points of weakness in our life. And I found that really, really helpful. And that's what happens in times of trial and difficulty. Our weaknesses get revealed. And this, for me, is very, very humbling, very painful. But again, there's a purpose behind it, which is the realization that I need to rely on God. The other thing that happens, I find, for me in times of trial and difficulty is that it reveals for me what my foundations are like. And unfortunately, that revelation can sometimes be not very pleasant. What can be revealed is not maybe what I want or maybe what I expect or maybe what I hope is there. In my experience, what often gets revealed as my foundations is selfishness, fear, and doubt. Selfishness, because then I start to realize how much of my life is really just constructed around me, my wants and what I really need. And I'm the shelter of it. They're not heliocentric or geocentric, but me-centric. And that's what gets revealed. What gets revealed also is the fear. I have a fear that I can't survive without the things that get taken away from me or that fail me. And I have this fear about what's going to happen in the future. And fear really comes to the surface. But the other thing that comes to me in times of trial and difficulty is doubt. In some respects, that's the big one for me. And the big one that comes out is God really enough? When I can't see a way through, when I don't know what the future is like, when it's not obvious to me what's going to happen, can I really trust God? And it's at those times, in that difficulty, in that suffering, God speaks a word. And he speaks a word to me and he speaks a word to you. So let me quote another prophecy from the anniversary weekend that we got back in last September. It says, my sons and daughters, I am your treasure. My sons and daughters, have you given up on me as your treasure? I say to you, you can only have one treasure and I am your treasure. I am the one who will be with you through all circumstances, all days of your life. My sons and daughters, regain the treasure I give you, the one treasure that is the treasure in heaven and is the treasure that is me, myself, the Lord your God. I am your treasure. Regain your treasure. Grasp hold of your treasure. Do not let it go. Do not be distracted by the temptations and distractions of this world. Do not be discouraged to give up on treasure because it is not easy to hold. I say to you again, my sons and daughters, I am your treasure. Take hold of me. Take hold of me, for I am your treasure. I guess the question and the one that I have been thinking about over the last while is, do I believe this? Is God really enough? When everything is stripped back, when my weakness is exposed, do I believe that God is enough? And let me be honest here. Sometimes I'm not sure. I know what the answer should be, but I really struggle. Romans 8:28. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. I take a lot of comfort in those words, because the next verse, verse 27, goes on to say, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So in times of testing, difficulty, pain, and suffering, in that place where I can be filled with fear and doubt, God's word to me is pray. Pray in the Spirit. Then you will find your treasure, and then you will realize that he is enough, that God is enough, that I am enough. And the thing is that when I pray, my experience is that my circumstances do not change. What changes is me, what's inside of me. But God doesn't change my circumstances. God's not like some sort of, you know, fairy godmother that comes along and, you know, waves his wand and everything turns out fine and we all feel good. That's not my experience. Maybe that happens to some people, but invariably what happens to me is my circumstances do not change, but something inside of me changes. Something inside of me sees things differently and relates to it differently. Going back to the prophetic work in September that I started with, it said, this year there will be hardships, we will face challenges. And then it goes on to say, but in the midst of that, I will shower you with grace and blessings. Okay, so let me talk about these grace and blessings. I made a comment at the recent meeting that this was a grace-filled time. And I got some reaction from some people for saying that, and rightly so. And I completely understand the feedback, and I really appreciated the feedback. So thank you to those who got in touch. I should have been more precise about the words I had chosen. So I want to clarify. There is a saying, you learn more from your failures than you do from your successes. And I think this is true. But there's also a spiritual parallel to this, which is, God does more with you in times of testing than in times of peace and tranquility. Now, that's true, not because he's any less able or because God has some moments of impotence, but rather because, as I said earlier, we are more disposed, more stripped back, and less self-reliant. So God's grace, which is always there, is more present to us in those times. So in times of difficulty and suffering, we therefore should expect God's grace. And when God is at work, we know that there is grace. But what impedes us sometimes is that we have a skewed view of what a grace-filled time means. You know, we think that grace-filled time is when everything's working fine, you know, where there's lots of joy and happiness and not a care in the world. And this is the kind of stuff our human nature seeks after. So I'm not saying, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we should therefore go after looking, you know, go looking for problems and go looking for trials and go looking for difficulties. But I do think sometimes we buy into this misunderstanding such that when there is a difficulty, we therefore think there is no grace. We think that God has left us. And so in those situations, what do? Well, we grin and bear it, or we might get frustrated, or we get anxious, or we get depressed. And maybe we even get bitter and angry. We get bitter and angry with ourselves. We get bitter and angry with other people. And we get bitter and angry with God. And we fail to see God's hand and his grace and his purpose. Ursula spoke about the wilderness experience and about experiencing and hearing the Lord during these times. And that's so true. But why? Why is it true? Well, because we are stripped back of our self-reliance and therefore we're freer to pursue God. When we are distracted with our plans for our own success as our own business, or we're distracted with our own suffering, there's a tendency, well, for me, I'm speaking about me, but maybe for the rest of us, we push God out. But God allows times of trial and difficulty, and in some cases suffering, for us to be stripped back and realize our need for him, that he is enough and we cling to him. Right, now, what I'm saying is not easy. It isn't. It really isn't. It's really, really hard, really difficult. And I know that. But it requires faith and courage, or what was traditionally called fortitude. It requires faith and fortitude. So here's the important point. And this is, for me, this is the thing that really changed my mind, changed my view. Faith is a theological virtue infused in us by the Holy Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Faith in us is a work of the Holy Spirit. That's the first point. The second point, Isaiah 11 tells us that fortitude is a gift of the Holy Spirit. We've already received it when we receive the Holy Spirit. So as hard as this time is, as hard as everything is, God has already given us the tools, so to speak, of how to respond. He's already given us the grace available. And what is that grace? His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit, which we've received, which all of us have. Going back to Romans 8, 15 to 17. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness to our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we might also be glorified with him. We are sons and daughters of God. We have been adopted into God's family, and the Holy Spirit has already been given to us. We have God within us. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Have faith and take courage, or have faith and act with fortitude, brothers and sisters, for God is with us. He has adopted us and made us sons and daughters and given us his Holy Spirit. Romans 8:38 to 39, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In times like this, God is offering more of himself to demonstrate to us that he is enough. Have faith, have courage. You are a child of God. Okay, let me finish by coming back to something I said at the beginning. For some of us, this time has been an inconvenience, but not much more than that. And for those of us in that group, let me encourage you with a verse I quoted in my email a few weeks ago, 1 Corinthians 12:26. If one part of the body suffers, then every part of the body suffers. There is a reason why you have not been finding this difficult. In fact, there's probably more than one. There's several reasons, right? But one of the reasons why you have not been finding it difficult is because you have the opportunity now to share in the suffering of others and support them. The prophecy I quoted earlier said, today, even now, bring me your tears. Do not hold back from me. And it goes on to say, draw near to me, you who rejoice and you who mourn, with tears for yourself or for others who suffer. I think this is something we have to learn about what it means to be a community, to be a body, and how to support one another when we have different experiences. Even though your experience is not as tough and as difficult as others, you have an obligation to support those who are suffering. That's what it means to be in a committed relationship with one another. That's what it means when Paul speaks of us being a body. And sharing groups are really important for us, where we can hear from one another and support one another in the challenges and difficulties we are facing. Okay, let me conclude. I don't know why God has permitted this global pandemic. However, I do realize that for many of us, this is a difficult time. But God has a purpose. God can and will bring good out of this. To quote Romans 8 yet again, we know that in everything, God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Or to put it another way, nothing is wasted in God's economy. For those of us who find ourselves stripped back with our weakness and foundations exposed, let's pray for grace and respond to the Lord and say, you are enough. You are our treasure. For those who are less affected, look to join yourself with those who are. Be a support, pray, and come alongside your brothers and sisters at this time. And may God have his way with us. Let us not waste this time and waste the grace that is available. Let us continue to seek his face and receive what he has from us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dan. Clap, 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 clap. So thank you. Thank you, Dan. So I think what we will do now is just take a bit of time, perhaps 2 or 3 minutes, and consider that key question that Dan mentioned earlier. Well, several questions, I guess. So I'll just let you have time to respond. And the key question that jumped out at me was, do I believe that God is enough? But also, where are we personally in this situation? Are we the ones who are suffering and need other brothers and sisters to reach out to us? Or are we the ones who are doing okay and should be doing the reaching out? So let's just perhaps Anthony can, Judy can just play gently in the background if that's possible. But let's just take a few minutes to just listen to the Lord and to respond to him in our hearts to Dan's talk. Thank you, Anthony.